Hello and welcome to the Serious Games Podcast, all about playful methods for interactive trainings and facilitation. Let's get started.
And welcome back to the Serious Games Podcast. And today, once again in Berlin, I'm talking to Sylvia Taylor. Sylvia builds adaptability capabilities for organizations, and you created a game called the Adaptive Identity Game, a card-based experience, which I was fortunate to experience a couple of weeks ago at the Serious Games for Serious Change meetup. And this game is really all about this big question: who will you become next? So I thought, why don't we unpack that in an hour and see how you make it work and where it's coming from and what triggered you to develop such a game and many, many, many more things. So first of all, welcome to the podcast, Sylvia.
Thank you, Julian. It is so great to be here. I'm really excited to talk about the game and just to chat with you in general.
Oh, absolutely, because I was just about to say, and we know each other for, I don't know, 10 and more years, I think, right? When you came to Berlin, and then I think it was still the days of the Lego Serious Play meetup, and you started your Liberating Structures meetup, and a lot of things are still going on. So I think in the first 2 minutes, I already mentioned a lot of things, which I will link in the show notes. But let's get started with the two traditional questions. What shall our listeners know about you? And how do you explain the adaptive identity game in an elevator pitch style?
Oh, two very good questions. And two questions that I'm still reinventing on the daily. So what should people know about me? I have a very diverse background in industry, in the work that I've done, and I think all of that has led me to where I am today. So where I used to be panicked about it, I'm now realizing it's all become a strength and a benefit. So my company is called Flux at Work, and I'm focusing on supporting teams and leaders to build more capability in their ability to adapt and deal with change so that they can do it with confidence, they can do it with agency, and they can see change, really flip their mindset, see change as an opportunity, not as chaos. And I think I have started doing that, you know, in many traditional ways. So workshops, talks, as a fractional OD person coming in and looking at change, any type of change that's coming, like most recently, AI. How are we going to become an AI first company, and what that look like, what that looks like. And there's a lot there. So I focus mostly on the people side of change. And I think from a technical standpoint, that's a clear element to call out, because I am not a technical project manager. I can talk tech, but I am not a techie.
Yes.
I'm not an engineer.
Wonderful. And of course we could, you know, have a conversation if that's really the bottleneck in those transformations out there, if it's the tech or the people, or both.
Yes. Well, I definitely lean towards the people. And I think also in the last couple of years, I have added more tools to my toolbox, and in fact, created one because I saw the need for it. And that's the adaptive identity game. But I very much feel like using the collective intelligence in the room is where we often fall short. And that's how you and I know each other, right? Is liberating structures.
Yes.
It's playful, but it's also very practical, and they are miniature methods to get everyone involved in a safe way, to have a conversation, to talk about strategy, to come up with ideas. Whatever it is that you're doing in a group, you could potentially do it far better using some kind of liberating structure in combination with all, you know, so many other types of facilitation methods.
let's do an episode on liberating structures. Not now,
yes.
Because you mentioned a lot of tools. And then, of course, liberating structures, one and then many, many others. But then you also decided to develop your own tool. So let's unpack that a little bit. What's your 30 seconds for the adaptive identity game? How would you explain to someone what you've designed?
So right now I'm saying, so the adaptive identity game is not about finding a new job or reinventing yourself completely. It's about discovering your new possibilities. So it's a game about helping people build confidence that they'll be able to create value no matter what changes.
Katya, wow. I was asking that question before, you know, also reflecting on your background, because I think that goes together, right? For me, it's important to understand, you know, who's the one who created or designed the game, but then also, obviously, the topic of the game, as you mentioned, that both answers are being reinvented or fine-tuned or change along the way, because that's literally also something that your game sparks within a group. Huh? Wow. Let's go back to that moment when you, I don't know, what was it? Unhappiness with the tools that you already have? Or did you see something, or did it just emerge in one of your rooms or spaces where you think, oh, that would be wonderful if we could capture that moment? What led you to starting to work on an own game?
So it was very much a kismet moment in that I wasn't planning on it at all. So every year I go to Agile Lean Europe, one of my favorite unconferences here, and it's an open space concept, so everyone's always invited to bring something. And in that community, I am well known for bringing in things that are like the Oracle and Seeker game, like liberating structures. And I really, the idea kind of came after my third layoff, which I had then was going to AIL anyway. And I had remembered, like, people, it's interesting because friends kept asking me, like, how are you not panicked? This is your third layoff. How are you so calm? And you're bouncing back so quickly. Like, I don't, tell me how you do that. And I realized that I, of course, I'd spent most of my career reinventing myself, like I had mentioned earlier. And I realized that I didn't ask myself, who am I now? Right. Instead, I always ask myself, what do I want to do next? And that shift is what I thought, oh, this would actually be a fun thing to bring to AIL. Also, because I had read April Rinney's book, The Flux Mindset. And in one of her superpowers is portfolio career. And I realized that's exactly how I've been operating. That's who I am. How can I help my Agile community, because those are the people I'm going to go see, shift the question of who am I now? Like, I've just had so many people in my life who were either getting laid off, worried that they were going to lose their Agile coach job. Their role no longer existed. And that had started to happen more and more over the recent years. So I thought, again, this is a group of people to test it out on, and I want it to be fun. And it has to be a collection of strengths, experiences. Oh, I'm a coach, so metaphors are really powerful. So I want to use metaphors in there. And I really just wanted people to be able to see what I saw in them. Like, you are so capable. You have so many things still yet to give, and in so many different combinations. Like, we just need to find that. So I put together skills and strengths, traits and qualities, and metaphors and archetypes. And I thought, okay, this will be a three-card game, three cards or three decks, and I will just bring this. There's going to be 20. Yeah, 20 will be good because that'll be big enough for a group. Because I also knew that my ahas often came when I was either in deep reflection, right? your ideas come when you're in the shower.
Mm.
Or when I'm in conversation with someone who sees or hears something that I don't about what I've just said, which is often, wait, that was brilliant. What did I just say? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I don't get that. So I decided to debut it at Ale, mm-hmm. and it was on index cards with these words. And I pitched it like, hey, we are stuck in our rigid identities, stuck in this box of how we call ourselves. Let's try instead and reimagine who we could become.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The Adaptive Identity Game. I know it's a lame name, but it's a fun game. Come check it out. And people did.
Wonderful.
So that's the story.
Yes. Yes. How it came together. And then, yeah, now we're going to zoom in on all those three decks and the metaphors and everything. Yeah. Okay. Got you. So reinventing portfolio, career. I'm going to link Renee's book, of course, and the Oracle. I don't know if there's something around about the Oracle Secret. But if not, we're just going to do another episode.
Oh, yes, there is. It's
wonderful.
It's intuition.
Oh, whatever. Yes, true. And AL, of course. Now, walk us through the materials, okay? So, conversation game, there are cards. You said 20, not in total, but 20 per deck.
Yes.
And I'm going to put some pictures in the podcast and also in the show notes, but just roughly walk us through. So,
I'm taking them out of the box now, mm-hmm. yes. because I also love to look at them. Mm-hmm. This, as soon as I just had a very strong vision for these cards from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And so there are three decks, mm-hmm. as I mentioned in the beginning. There are strengths and skills, mm-hmm. and those are representative of things that we can grow, right? Mm-hmm. Things that we hopefully are good at, but also might not realize we're good at,
and
get good at again.
And there are words on it, right?
There are words.
Yeah, can you,
words
can you
on
give
the
us a few examples? Mm-hmm.
Yes. So, let's see. Visualization. I'm looking through active listening, facilitation. And then, now, why am I drawing all the choose your own word?
Okay. That's a special
I added
though,
those
right?
in.
Choose your own word.
Yes. Let's see. Improvisation.
Mm.
Systems thinking. Mm. Analytical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Relationship building.
Mm.
So these are all conflict resolution, right? These are things that people, regardless of what your role is, these are things that you are either doing parts of or are very good at doing because that's a big requirement of your role. Mm.
Deck number one, strength and skills. Yes.
Strength and skills. The deck number two are traits and qualities. So, right, descriptive words that support and that can support describing something.
Okay.
So, mm-hmm. playful.
Gotcha.
Bold.
Mm-hmm.
Curious.
Mm-hmm.
Patient. Mm-hmm. Resilient. Hopeful. And the new one that I just added today, which I love, rebellious.
Okay.
Analytical. So, right, they are shades of potential, like you could get analytical thinking,
mm-hmm.
and the trait or quality that you get, because it's random drawing, we can talk about the mechanics.
Cool.
But also, these are words that can describe you, mm-hmm. as your character or you as your strength.
Okay, traits and qualities. And then last deck metaphors.
Yes, metaphors and archetypes.
Okay.
Because I wanted there to be, right, the human element as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also another note about traits and qualities is that they're all positive.
Okay.
In fact, all the cards in the deck are based on positive psychology. Someone once asked me, like, why is there no, like, black sheep? Because that's not a metaphor in here. I was like, well, yes, you could use that and choose your own word, but it doesn't really have a positive connotation for the most part.
Okay, gotcha.
So I chose not to put that in the deck. But it doesn't mean that someone else can't add it for themselves.
Yeah. So that's why those Joker cards, the choose your own word cards, they are there. So I can, you know, if I'm in love with a word or a description or a quality, I am able to add it.
Yeah.
Even though it's not on a card yet.
So I think there's the typical one, like mentor, guide, explorer, but I also added things like healer, sculptor, alchemist. And I think the one that is very appropriate for Berlin, DJ.
There you go. Yeah.
Right. So DJ is not necessarily a metaphor. It's an actual job role, but it has such a strong archetype of what people think or what you could say that a DJ does.
Okay. And so you surely mentioned, like, you know, the positive psychology filter. How did you come up with the first set? And then I understand that you are currently refining, and just today you added the rebellious card. But how did you 20, right, per deck? I mean, that's not a lot.
No.
And probably you had way more. How did you select them, and what guided you, and what is the balance? What was important for you when selecting the cards,
aka the words? I think for, especially for archetypes and metaphors, I wanted it to be more role-based, right, human-based, because of course there are, like the Oracle and Seeker, right? Those potentially could have been two archetypes, the Oracle, the Captain, the Goddess. But I really wanted to not be on the spiritual side. I wanted it to be much more neutral and work focused. This is the thing where I think where people, I didn't want them to get stuck or hung up on, I am describing myself as something that I couldn't be. I mean, that's why I pushed the boundary a little bit with healer, but I very purposely didn't put doctor or nurse, because those are actual job titles. And I really, like, there's no firefighter, but there's fire starter.
Okay.
And I think I just honestly was randomly chose 20 because I thought, gosh, this deck is going to be huge. I need to limit it.
Yes.
I need to just pick the 20 that I think resonate now and could cross over with many different types of work and characteristics and how people see themselves. So I'm just going to try these 20.
All right. Okay. And then you introduce them as three decks, but obviously they're in one box. And then they have different colors, so you can sort them. But let's now, look at the flow and how it develops. So who would or when would you decide to use the adaptive identity game? Well, what type of quests, challenges, questions are there?
So originally I thought, this is really helpful for someone who's lost a job because they're feeling maybe uninspired and, or they've sent out a million CVs and there's, you know, gosh, I'm stuck in this way of thinking about myself. But I also think it's for someone who gets promoted because essentially they're taking on a new role. A new way that they have to show up. like a first-time leader. I've been a peer, and now I'm a leader. Someone who's even navigating a new role because of AI. Like there's a shift in the way that so many people are working from, those tasks that are, that once I was able to do or I was doing, and now a machine or an agent is doing it. What does that free me up to do? What could I do? I think people who are returning into the workforce, either from parental leave or a mother. I actually had a mother in the last playtest that I did in London who came up to me and she's like, this is exactly what I needed. I am getting back into trying to rediscover who am I now after being out of, you know, my career field for 2 years and so much has changed.
Yes.
But I'm still have value that I want to give. So I think it could be also for people who are returning to work after burnout, right? They haven't, or maybe they've done a lot of thinking about who they are and what they want to do. Newbies. So I also had some young graduates who did the playtest. And I mean, they were both, the two that had the, I think the most fun were the psychology students who were thinking, wow, this is something that has really helped me realize that I don't have to put myself in one box to go and do the work that I want to be doing. In fact, I have so much more that I'm bringing, so many more capabilities, et cetera.
Okay.
So,
a really diverse and group or versatile tool to help anyone, again, getting out of this stuck, ending in, maybe recognizing or seeing that, oh, it is always the same story I share about myself. Oh, always the same boxes. Oh, always the same draws, always the same way. Yeah. And maybe that story that I tell to myself and that I tell about myself, it has been great and good and well and sound for the past, but in the future, I might want to play with something new, right?
Yes, yes. Gotcha. And I think also, right, we haven't totally talked about the mechanics of the game, but I think I mentioned that it's a conversation-based game.
Yes, going to get into that in a second, yeah.
And I think that's actually also people who, again, we're stuck in our own heads talking about what we do and then trying to put that down on paper so it fits on LinkedIn or it fits on a CV. But we are so much more capable. And sometimes that's just hidden under all of the words that we are using to describe ourselves in the way that we think people want us to.
Yeah. And in the words that everyone is using. And then it kind of gets blurry, right? And it gets this one soup of, oh, that's the role, the job, the responsibilities, and apparently the capabilities are next, right? So it's always like the same kind of structure. Okay, so in a setup, you prepare the room. Walk us through now how the game works, right? So what do you need in the room? Obviously, you need the cards, but how do you set them up? How do you structure the group? Is it very individual? Or just walk us through what your first kind of activities or invitations are and activities for the learners, for the players to do.
Sure. And I love that you've played. So if I forget anything, you can let me know.
I was just going to say, oh, no, we did it something completely different. No, I learned, but there's many, many, many ways. So, walk us through one, use case, and then we can talk about all the variations, because you mentioned also a lot of variations during the meetup.
Yes, and discovering more. So initially how I set up the game was that you need at least one table where you can put the cards that everyone has access. A small round table, a big long table, however that is. Then to have people either already sit in pairs or small groups. Better if it's in pairs, but if it's an odd number of people, small groups is fine. So three to four, but no bigger than that. And everyone should have a piece of paper and a pen or a pencil, mm-hmm. because again, it's this act of using our most human element, our body, to engage our brain and our creativity. Mm-hmm. So having, you can do it without pen and paper, but in creating the combinations with your cards and writing them down, you come up with something different, I think. So everyone has a pen and or pencil and paper. The cards in each of their separate decks are stacked next to each other or near each other on the mm-hmm. table. Everyone is in their small group or their pair. And then I give the invitation to everyone to come up and get one card from each deck.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. From each of the piles. Mm-hmm. They don't get to look at them first, right? You're just taking what's on the top. They've been shuffled. Mm-hmm. The first round is called Random Remix. So whatever you get, you get. You're going to play with these cards. And the goal is with these three cards, with your strength and skill, the trait and quality, and archetype and metaphor, your goal is to create a brief description and your new role identity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, for example, my favorite that I like to give, of course, again, here in Berlin, is that I got facilitation as my mm-hmm. strength. Mm-hmm. I got playful as my trait. And I got DJ as my mm-hmm. metaphor. Mm-hmm. So those can be put together in so many different ways. And for me, it's I am a playful facilitation DJ, mixing and remixing my team so they can find the best rhythm for their work. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, right, I didn't say I'm an agile coach. I didn't say I'm a facilitator. I didn't say I'm a project manager. You know, all of those yes. words that I could have used typically to describe myself, I just used those three words and then gave a brief description of what does that mean?
Got you.
And there's so many more versions. Like I could be the facilitation DJ that playfully works with people to create new rhythm in their work. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm using DJ to give me more words.
Got
kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And of course, I also have lots of pictures now, right? The DJ that also, you know, creating the space or influencing the space, you know.
Yeah.
So that others can shine, huh? And you know, so many, many things. Cool.
Yes.
That's the first round. Then, so hold on. Do I write that down, right? Ideally.
Yes. So we write that down. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets about a minute. I don't put any time limit on it, but I do think time boxing is important. So you give everybody a minute to think about that for themselves, write it down. And then you have a partner. And once you have this role description, you are each going to take turns for about 5 minutes. The first person goes and you're essentially introducing yourself like you were at a party. Like, hi, I'm Sylvia. You use your role description and your identity to introduce yourself. And then your partner asks you questions. So how did you get into doing that work? Or what does that actually look like, you know, when the team does it? Or how did you develop that strength? Where did you learn how to do that? So any number of questions that comes up for your partner who's trying to get to know you, who's trying to also help you dig a little bit deeper into understanding where does that come from?
Yes.
Which is, if again, someone got cards that they like, oh, I don't know what this looks like. I just make it up. You have permission to play and make it up. So that goes for your partner as well. If you get into role playing and you all of a sudden you start talking about yourself being, you know, really a DJ, maybe you've gotten off track a little bit, but maybe it sparks something for you.
Yes.
So the rules, there are constraints, but they're very open.
Okay. So that's the first round, 1 minute of thinking, writing, and then 5 minutes each, right? Of introducing and digging deeper, asking those questions. All right, I can imagine that that's already fun. Again, I experienced it once, right? But that's already, you know, getting our creativity muscle or storytelling muscle or story making muscle ready and flexed. And what happens next? So that was the first random remix round. Mm-hmm. And how do I build on that? And what do you say next to the participants?
So I usually debrief the group a mm-hmm. little bit mm-hmm. so that people can see other experiences around the room. And essentially ask, right, what came up for people? Was there anything surprising? And mm-hmm. usually I hear, how did I get these three cards? They are so me. Mm. How do the cards know? But I've also had people say, like, I was hesitant because I'm not really a word person. Mm-hmm. And yet I think with having someone to talk it through with, I realized these are actually working for me. Like I could find something in here that helped me think about experiences that I'd forgotten or a skill that I may be underusing that I really am kind of like, oh, I really should use that more. Mm-hmm. So getting people to hear and understand that there are even more experiences in the room and that they, if they felt uncomfortable, they weren't the only ones. But if they also were like, this is magic. How did this happen? That's okay. Also that yes. in the room.
All right. What's next?
So then what's next is I essentially am reading the room. I'm seeing how many people there are in a room. If there's very few, if there's under 10 people, what I like to do is give everyone the option to say, if you have a favorite card, keep it. But we're going to turn all the cards over in all the decks and we're going to lay them out so you can see them so that you get to choose your own next three cards from each of the decks.
Okay. But now I see all 60 cards, so to speak, and then yes. I can choose. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you only get 30 seconds to do it, which is why I say you can do this with a small group. Because of course the intention is, go with your gut. Go with your intuition. Mm-hmm. Don't try to overthink it. Don't try to put yourself back in another box. Mm-hmm. Go, that's the card. That's my card. I don't know why, but I better pick it up. Mm-hmm. It says healer. That's weird, but okay, I'm going to go with it. Mm-hmm. And after that 30 seconds, right, everyone has their cards. And we do the same process. You stick with your same partner. Again, because they've already heard a little bit about you, they know your background, or at least the one that you made up. And now the goal is to use the cards that you picked. And again, do not use your job title. Do not use the, I'm a fundraiser. Like if that word is not on your cards, you can't use it. If you've picked a choose your own word card and you choose that one.
Well, and you choose fundraiser, there also, you go.
There you go. So then it is, the focus is on, again, writing out as many different combinations as you can, explaining briefly what you do, what that looks like, and making it as true to you as possible. Like, these are my experiences. These are my talents. These are my strengths in using those three cards again.
And Sylvia, I just need to say one thing. Now, if I want to have that bold card and I'm a little bit hesitant and I'm walking around because I think there might be a better card and the card is gone, I need to choose another one, right? I mean, either I choose the choose your own word card if there's one available. Or I'm forced to go for something else then, right?
Most of the time people don't have a challenge. They either go, oh no, it's missing. Well, I guess I'm going to choose my own word card and I'm going to make that word that up, my word.
Got you. And the as true as possible story about myself, do I get to introduce myself again to my group or my partner.
Yes.
And then they get to ask questions again.
Yes.
All right. So another round of digging deeper, understanding how these three cards, how they are related, how they in combination make a story about me.
Yeah. How they reveal parts of you that might have been hidden or that you'd forgotten about because, right, we're so much more richer of a collection of strengths and perspectives and capabilities that we we don't use words like this maybe very often.
And what happens then? So that was two rounds of cards, random and picking. That was two rounds of introducing and answering questions, aka asking questions. That's about, you know, that's about a 30-minute, 25, 30-minute kind of in the session time. What happens next?
So I think, again, what I usually do is a bit more debriefing with the whole group. I ask usually something like, who found the first round easier or more challenging? What was different for you about this second round? What did it, what's the word I'm looking for? What did it inspire? Or what did you discover? Or sometimes what did you uncover? And then I ask people, like, can you see yourself using this on LinkedIn? Like, what level of inspired are you? And I use that at AIL, actually, to say, does anyone have a new role identity that they would be confident enough to put on LinkedIn? And I had at least three people go, you know, raise their hands and say, me, like, I am an organizational optician. I help my clients focus in on their real problems. That's me.
Like,
so again, having people share their role identities just in popcorn style, right? Anyone who wants to share, what did you come up with? Does this really feel like you? What about it feels like you? Would you use this to describe yourself? If someone asked you, what do you do? And that usually elicits responses with exactly what people chose. And I hear laughing. I hear people, well, I've seen people high five each other. It's there's usually a really good feeling in the room, and people sometimes even deeply nodding to themselves. And smiling and,
And I'm wondering, because, you know, on the one hand, this is, you know, you mentioned it briefly, like this moment of, wait a minute, I'm way more than my, you know, CV or the way more than the story that I can possibly share about myself. Now, with the, you know, with the cards, and then and I come up with a new way of telling the story about myself and maybe even putting this on LinkedIn or somewhere else. But how do you deal with that reality also that it's also not expected, right? Maybe there's also no or just a little room for someone to say, well, look, you know, if you really ask me what I'm doing, I help teams, you know, visualize things so they can be way bolder than they are. And, you know, I do this from the stance of a mentor. Yes. And I'm looking for, you know, an agile coach. There's how do you deal with that gap or this perceived gap that someone could have and say, yeah, but, and I tried a lot of, you know, things. And I try to put it in different words, but at the end of the day, if I apply, again, just now going back to that application moment, on that success factors form, there is no DJ.
Right. Well, I think this isn't about helping somebody find a job, right? This is helping people. Yeah, so the game isn't going to give you any answers. It's not going to deliver you a job. It's not going to help you find your next position that you can apply to. It's really so that people can hear themselves more clearly, right? The things that they're forgetting about who they are,
yes,
to give them more confidence, to give them more clarity, to maybe even give them more agency. Like, I can go do that. Yes. I am good at that. So it's more about being adaptable, not about getting a job. It's really expanding who we are.
And I do love that micro story that is sparked, right? And that begins to describe what you're doing, to you know, to show in you know, when we talk about metaphors and stories, to show a little bit of how you're doing that and what's important to you. Because if I say, you know, I see often myself as a healer, you know, that's a different message than if I say, look, you know, I'm normally, in the last kind of, you know, functions, I was the explorer out there, right? So it resonates different with whoever I'm speaking to, or whomever I'm sharing, or whomever I'm introducing myself to, right? Right. Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's also true. Is the words that you're choosing to describe yourself, again, might be the same words everyone before you has used as well, as an agile coach or as a project manager. And yes, there's a need for that when you're in a job interview, or when you're having discussions about what a team should be doing or how they're going to show up and what's next. But yeah, that maybe a team is a really good example. So using this in a team, there's so often a gap between realizing actually that even though you know each other, there are still things you don't know about each other. And again, we see each other sometimes more clearly than we see ourselves. So when I had a team play this, what came up was, and I did a different variation. I had the team members gift other team members strengths cards and traits cards and metaphor cards. So we sort of went through the whole deck. And the discussion or the comments that came out of that was like, you see me as being good at this? And it was improvisation. And they're like, you are improvising all the time. Not in a jokey way, but you are just figuring it out and coding it in and seeing if it works and doing the yes and. And he was so surprised that that's how people saw him. He was like, yeah, actually, I do that. And that kind of happened all around the room. Sometimes people really nailed it and they were like, oh, yeah, that's totally me. That's totally me. And also, the next question was for me, is there any role missing? Is there anything that if your team would feel more complete, or a role that has disappeared or that needs to shift? Because again, AI coming in, new technologies, shifting how we work with each other, not just how we do our own work, but how we work with each other. Those roles that we are playing also shift in a team. And them having a conversation about it, but giving it to each other to see, oh, this is how you see me. Wow. That's really cool. And I never thought of myself that way, but it's a very psychologically safe way to do this kind of work as well.
Yes, absolutely. It's a very nice excuse. Well, I just had the card of the alchemist, so I had to give it to you now because you're mixing and remixing and all those different experiences. And, you know, it's always gold what comes out. So thank you for that, right? Yeah.
Oh, what a gift. Thank you. That makes me feel so good.
Lovely.
So building relationships, building trust.
Yes. But I can also now, you know, instead of also just plugging together the keywords that are out there and then, oh, I got my job role. A future role or role that we now are starting to look for, you know, try to think of, for me, really more the actions, right? The activities, the things that this person will do to us, with us, for us, and the greater good and the system, et cetera, to have that more, it's more descriptive than literally the word. Mm-hmm. Funny thing is, obviously, even if we do have a role, title, job, you know, agile coach, what does that mean, right? I mean, that is right. Also different for different contexts and for different companies and also for different individuals, right? So right. It's not that just because there is a list, maybe an infinite list of job roles doesn't mean that it's clear what they mean, right? Right.
Yeah. Right. And I think, mm-hmm. right, these unexpected combinations, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is what I hope they are, if someone is a hope guardian, which mm-hmm. is one of my favorites, like what mm-hmm. could that be? It's the cards are breaking our predictable thinking patterns, mm-hmm. right, that we're all in and that we're trained in. But in order to become more adaptable and see our value in many different situations, including situations and in roles that we can't even predict today, mm. we have to be able to take a metaphor of something or take a trait or a quality and mm-hmm. go a little bit outside how we would usually describe it. And I think maybe like writing from a blank piece of paper, that's really hard mm. because that's also not how we're trained. That's not how mm. our brain works. We like patterns. We like to make sense of things and we like them to stay the same. Mm. But we need to be more flexible.
Yes, and I was just about to say, because you said, oh, how we usually describe it. Well, I would already be happy if we describe it, right? Rather than just say, oh, this is, me being bold. What does that mean, right? It's yeah. like, okay, what type of
what
bold?
What does that look like?
You know, what does your bold look like, right? Yeah, yeah, that will yeah. already be helpful to get that clarity and not to hide behind words, which again, serve many purposes, including, status and identity and position and who I'm representing when I'm opening the office door and who I'm representing when I'm opening the, you know, apartment door. Yes. And so that was already a variation, right? That someone else picks a set of cards, a combination or one.
Yep.
And hands it over and explains what other ways of, and again, you can still walk us through that flow. So two rounds, debrief, ideas, ways of rewriting, not only LinkedIn, but rewiring and writing that story that I might, you know, use the next time when someone asks me, hey, what do you do? It's like, well, you know, right. I'm a DJ without TVs.
So a couple of other variations that have come up through play and through the play testing. Mm-hmm. One was, and in fact, the original version, I didn't have people flip over the cards mm-hmm. because we had such a big group that mm-hmm. I just had them repick and then used the same prompt of now try to have this be as close to mm-hmm. your actual work or the work that you want to be doing as possible, mm-hmm. but just use these three words. Mm-hmm. Flipping it over was already a variation. Giving them as a gift to each other was another variation. Mm-hmm. A variation that I think could be done. It really depends on your group and you'll know this, right? When you're facilitating or maybe you're just bold enough to try it. is that all you do is swap cards with your partner.
Mm-hmm.
You've already heard how they've described themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And now you get the opportunity to do, to use the same cards, but perhaps come up with something completely different.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And that was also a very interesting experiment that I had people do.
So lots of micro triggers. And again, new combinations, depending on if you decide to mix, to draw, to share, to give. And at the end of those multiple rounds of crafting, and again, I'm always writing that, right? So maybe I have now a full A4 sheet or more, and tons of ideas. What is your final, or let me phrase it differently. What is your ideal, you know, takeaway? How do you want to leave people? How should they end such a workshop with the adaptive identity game?
So I think that I really want people to realize that they are carrying around more wisdom, creativity, and possibility than they give themselves credit for. I want them to leave hopeful and inspired and like, I don't think the problem is that we don't know ourselves. Mm-hmm. I think the problem is that we rarely slow down long enough to deeply listen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the game really makes those two things very possible. Mm-hmm. And with the unexpected combinations, right? Mm-hmm. It gives people that out, that way to get out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is unexpected. And because it's a card, it's a physical, right? I'm just very intentional that this is a physical game.
Mm-hmm.
They are holding on to something that is a bit of an anchor.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, this could be me.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe this is me. And maybe I want this to be me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I think that the conversation with their partner is also the thing that I want them to remember, is that there was a deep reflection back to them. They had a mirror, essentially, and their partner started noticing, and then maybe they started noticing things that they really couldn't see on their own.
And while you are drinking, I will will ask. Is there anything now that you've run so many sessions with the adaptive identity game? Is there anything that you would recommend that is a good practice or a good method or thing to do afterwards?
Well, more reflection, I think, never hurts. Again, running a little bit slower and asking ourselves, is there something that I want to do with this? Maybe I can share a story of something that happened that someone then shared with me after they attended. So I had a young woman attend one of the playtests, and she got storytelling as one of her cards. And I think I heard her say, oh, this is not really a strength of mine, but I will go with it. And then as she got further in and she started to have to describe, and her partner asked her questions, she's like, I realized actually I do storytelling all the time. And maybe, yeah, I'm better at it than I think. I don't know. It's interesting. And then the next round, as the universe does, it gave her Story Weaver as the metaphor. That's what she picked out of the deck, was Story Weaver. She's like, what? How did I get this card? But also, why not? Like, I am a story weaver. I am doing this in my work. I am doing this in so many different aspects that perhaps not only am I better at it than I think I am, but I actually want to get better at it, because it's going to be so useful for the type of work that I think I'm growing into. Mm-hmm. So it gave her a way to look at what an answer was that was sort of hidden underneath everything that she in a way already knew. Mm-hmm. So I think that was that what people, I would love for people to do after they play or when they walk away is to remember, right, you have all the answers. They're already in there. Mm-hmm. You just might need to stop and play and reconsider that you are more than just the words on your CV. Mm.
Gotcha. Wow. And just to close that chapter, so to speak, are there any other variations that you were thinking of? Are they all described, by the way, in the deck? Is there or is there a website where you then describe all the ways how to, you know, facilitate those rounds?
How to play? There will be. There will be on the website. So when the game is fully launched, so it's we didn't really talk about this yet.
No, we're gonna get into that. But I was just wondering which other variations will be part of that official description, even though, you know, maybe our listeners aren't already have tons of other ideas on how to use those. Sure.
Yes, I hope so. And I hope everybody shares. Which I also would love for this to be a community, right? The mechanics of this are so simple that I want people to stretch the boundaries of what's possible. The only thing that I know for sure is that I didn't build a game or a facilitation tool that has winners or losers. It's not a competition. It doesn't need to be. It really shouldn't be. It's only about you. So I think the variations that I have described already that come with the deck are variations 1 and 2. So random remix, which is the first one.
Yes.
And then the second one, which I call remix yourself. Mm-hmm. So those are the two that come described with reflection questions within the deck itself. The other variations, I hope to start a catalog on the website and for people to actually send in, this is what we tried. Here's how it worked. These are the questions that we used so that people can start to see, right, all the different ways that this could be used for.
Yes. Me working mostly with, you know, for team growth, et cetera. I kind of also imagine, you know, a team founders, you know, building their stories and, you know, trying to come up with different ways of explaining what they're doing, why they're doing. Okay. Lovely. And now,
thank you. You just gave me a couple more ideas.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty. And then our listeners, again, I'll of course link all your contact details and where to learn more about the game. But the easiest is literally just to find you and write you a message or give you a call or join one of your meetups. But to slowly wrap it up, have you played it online, like remotely with remote teams? Is that a possibility? Do you think that'll work?
So I have not personally, but somebody that did a play test in Hungary, a friend of mine who had essentially the very first PDF and something that he'd played it in at Ale last year.
Okay.
He did it with a hybrid team. And like anything hybrid, it was pretty tricky. They had to like tell people what the cards were and they had to pick and, hey, this is the card that you got. And I have considered putting it online, but it's still the physicalness of the cards that create the connection to our brain, to what's happening in that creativity. So more than likely I will create like a Miro deck so that people can play it on Miro.
Yes.
But it's really meant to be used as a physical deck.
Got you. Okay. And let me start with the other question. What's the secret sauce of the adaptive identity game?
I think we kind of talked about it already. So for me, I think there's three secret sauces because I also like mayo, ketchup, and barbecue. Like those are three. For me, it's that it is a psychologically safe game. Mm-hmm, it's mm-hmm. very accessible. And I, again, did it very intentionally, even with the way that I color coded the cards. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they have shapes on them. So in case you are colorblind, I feel like mm-hmm. it's very accessible. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They're tarot sized, so mm-hmm. they're bigger. They're mm-hmm. not too small. Mm-hmm. It's not overwhelming. There aren't 60 cards per deck mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. one deck. There's only 20. Yes. Of course, you can get the expansion packs, which I will have. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I think it's an experiment for people. Mm-hmm. It's mm-hmm. a way for people to play freely. There mm-hmm. is no right or wrong. Mm-hmm. So that, I think, makes it safe. Gotcha. I think the second one is what we talked about, these unexpected combinations, things that mm-hmm. I would never put together. Mm. I had a nutritionist, coach, nutritionist, researcher, was how she described herself. Mm. And when she played, she's like, oh, I'm really struggling with this. I've never had a corporate job, mm. which technically wasn't true. But mm. she was so used to talking about herself mm. in this box so that people could understand mm. what she did. She got the cards. And again, one of my favorite. A Hope Guardian, curiosity-driven research. She's like, that's a mouthful. It's now since mm. a card I've actually changed. But what she did with that was, yeah, she described this, her research nutritionist world, in as I am a Hope Guardian, giving people a holistic way to look at a sustainable future for themselves and being able to create that. And then that just gave me goosebumps because it was, I was hoping this would break the pattern that she had of only describing herself as a nutritional research scientist. Mm-hmm.
Got you. And what's number three?
Number three is those reflective conversations, that you're having a conversation with someone else. Again, I think other people can see us better than we see ourselves and can see things in us that we don't see. So I think the secret sauce is also, it's a game you could do by yourself. I know many introverts who have multiple personalities in their head and you absolutely could do it by yourself.
Yeah.
But the unpredictability of having another human being across from you is, I think, that secret sauce.
Yes, that's liberating too. Yep. Yeah. Cool. And, maybe three more questions. Number one is, what is your ultimate facilitation tip for our listeners? Now, it does not have to be solely for the identity game. It could be. But what would you, just piece of advice from you for our listeners?
The ultimate facilitation
tip
would be to trust the group. I mean, I think that's a really big one. I think I started out as a facilitator wanting to control the group. Wait, not that way. No, don't do it this way. Wait, what are you doing? Come back here. And in the end, the most successful, valuable, impactful sessions that I did were absolutely when I started to trust the group. To be present, be ready to improvise, but trust the group knows where it wants to go.
Wonderful. Wow. Thank you, Sylvia. And again, I personally love, I think we discussed before the recording started, I think, but I love the minimalistic games that give prompts, that inspire, that trigger participants, and then leave a lot of room for them to then go and explore, dig deeper and think, and to also sense and feel how that story feels. Is that something that I want to keep, that I want to say, that I want to share, right? And why is that feeling than different from what I normally tell about myself. And yes, I love the idea of having this big, well, having this deck of challenging the way that we talk about ourselves, and our contributions ultimately. Cool. Now, you mentioned when the game is released. So walk us through what will happen next and where can we get it, or what do we need to do to just be in the loop and to share ideas that we have how to use those
sure.
60 cards?
Thank you for asking. So it is still in production. Mm-hmm. I am using a new printer, and again, all of these playtests have informed so much more about the cards. And I am hoping that I will launch mid-September with Kickstarter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're going for crowdfunding, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm going to go with crowdfunding because I feel like that's the safest possible way for people who want to invest in making this a reality, who want to be part of the community, and who it's really no risk. It's not just low risk, it's no risk. Because if the campaign isn't successful, they don't get their money taken.
We don't pay. Yeah, yeah, true.
Yeah, you don't pay. Yeah. So for me, it's also a way to see, like, is this really something people want? Is this the right time? Mm. I think it is. I hope it is. And for me, in a world that's obsessed with AI and automation and efficiency and all of those things, I think one of the most powerful things that we can still do is sit across from another human and help them discover something about themselves. Mm-hmm. So it will be a physical game until I figure out it shouldn't be. And when the Kickstarter, if you want to find out when the Kickstarter goes live and get one of those first early bird prices, which I'm not going to have, another thing that I learned during the first Kickstarter, which was unsuccessful, was that I had too many early bird decks available.
Okay.
So I'm only going to have probably 30 decks available that are early bird price. Mm-hmm. And if you want to find out, be one of the first to find out when it launches, then you have to go to the adaptiveidentitygame.com.
Okay.
There's no the in front of it. It's just adaptiveidentitygame.com. Okay. And just sign up to, it says to get the newsletter. There's really not much of a newsletter. It's more about, hey, I'm getting ready to launch. Yeah.
Okay.
The game. Here's the date. This is what it looks like. If there are any changes to the game, significant ones, I email people on that list, but it's not a constant barrage of emails. It will be, I'm getting ready to launch. I've launched.
Wonderful.
Here you go.
And again, I'll link the website in the show notes. But again, I highly also encourage you to follow Sylvia on LinkedIn. And then obviously you would post there,
please.
Right? You're ready to, start that campaign. What else? Mm-hmm.
Also, I am, like I said, I really want to build a community around this because I think there are so many variations and so many different groups and kinds of people that could use this. I'm only one person. So I am building a playtest community where there's an application form on my website. Okay. So you fill out the application form. And if you meet the criteria, essentially, of what I know will be supportive in getting this out there, but also helping people, then I will be giving you a free deck.
Okay.
If you're part of the playtest community, you're in and you get to
That sounds wonderful. And again, I'll link that form in the show notes
to make sure
that everyone can sign up. Wow. Thank you so much, Sylvia. That was plenty. And for me, always great to see how, conversational games work and how you make them work and what is important when we put cards in front of participants. Good to learn and good to hear that wonderful conversations are being sparked. Well, thank you for that.
Thank you for the opportunity. And again, I'm so glad that you had a chance to play. And yeah, let's see. I'm hoping this is a tool for people for hope.
Sounds good. I'm happy that you joined the Serious Games for Serious Change meetup. And yes, again, try to find Sylvia. Again, I mentioned you're based in Berlin, right? So, but you were speaking at different, also international conferences. So, yes, there's definitely the opportunity to maybe play the game, but definitely also to learn more about on the websites and channels that you shared. Yes, are there any final famous last words for our listeners?
I think, I don't know if they're famous, but they're mine. I just want people to remember that adaptability isn't really about trying to become someone else. It's about expanding who you already are.
Thank you, Sylvia. And to all our listeners, go and find Sylvia. Go and look up all the different links that I will, and references, books and other games and... of course, the details and what we're doing in Berlin and beyond. And till the next time, bye-bye.
You can reach us at hello@keylearning.net. We're looking forward to your suggestions, comments, and feedback.